in the Saviour's name. So Psalm 3, and let's read the psalm together, please. We'll read the title and then into the psalm. The psalm says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth off the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Amen. And we'll conclude at the end of the chapter. Now it may surprise you that we have returned to Psalm chapter 3. I haven't taken leave of my senses. I trust that you understand that. We've returned to Psalm number 3. We studied this psalm out last Wednesday evening, and we trust that what was preached on that occasion will have been a help and an encouragement to you. But we do return to this psalm, this third psalm, for one specific reason. The reason is that we come across a word in Psalm 3 that makes its first appearance, but certainly not its last appearance in the book of Psalms. Now that word I want us to think upon this evening is not found in the previous two psalms, and that's why we're coming to it this evening. However, it is found here in Psalm 3, and it's found on three separate occasions. After this point, after this chapter in Psalm 3, in the book of Psalms, this word will be found some 68 other times. And so it is a word that we need to give consideration to because of its frequent appearance in this much treasured Old Testament book. The word I refer to is that little five-letter word, Selah. Selah. You'll find it appearing at the end of the verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Now, we didn't refer to that word because I knew that I would come to it on this particular message. But due to its size, and I would say due to its frequent appearance, the word Selah is one of those words in Holy Scripture that the Bible reader, without understanding really what it means, really just quickly passes over it in order to get to the words that immediately follow it. However, there is profit in looking at this particular word, and it is, I say that for this reason. We are reminded by Solomon in Proverbs 30 and the verse 5 that every word of God is pure. That every word of God is pure. Inspired by God the Holy Spirit, every word that we find on the pages of Holy Scripture must be considered then in light of those words of Solomon, that this word Selah is one of the pure words of God. This was the inspired, the God-breathed word of God, this little word Selah. Every word in Scripture must also be considered in light of the apostles' words over there in 1 Timothy 3, verse, or 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, where he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly or perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And thus I believe that there is instruction in righteousness, instruction in that which is right for us, even in this five-lettered word, the word Selah. You see, it's not just the precepts of God's word. And it's not just the truths and the truths of God's word that are important, we must remember that every word of Scripture is critical. Is critical. To skip a word, even as small a word as the word Selah, is to skip then that which God deemed necessary to place within His word. Unlike human writers, God had no reason to pad out His word. Unlike preachers, God had no reason and no purpose to pad out His word. He didn't add a word here or a statement there to embellish His word, to make it a little bit longer for us to read. But rather, God directed the human penman to write the exact words He believed were necessary to communicate His message to the human race. And whenever you think of that, Selah must be then one of those words. Must be one of His words that He wants to communicate His message to the human race through. Now, it may surprise you that the book of Psalms is not the only place where the word Selah appears. Some of you that are well read will know that to be the case. You find it, first of all, in 2 Kings chapter 14 in the verse 7. And there the word Selah actually refers to a place. We're told that Amaziah, who had ascended the throne of Judah on the death of his father Joash, we're told that he slew of Edom in the valley of Salt 10,000 and took Selah by war and called the name of it Jokathel unto this day. And so that's the same word, that's the same spelling, at least the word Selah. But the word Selah also makes three appearances in one book, and it is the book of Habakkuk. And each time it appears in chapter 3, specifically in the verses 3, 9, and 13. And you can look at that chapter, Habakkuk 3, the verses 3, 9, and 13, after you get home this evening in the will of God. However, the overwhelming occurrences that this word appears is obviously in the book of Psalms, 71 times in total, but it appears in only 39 of the 150 chapters of the book of Psalms. That's just something for you to remember if you're ever doing a Bible quiz. Only 39 of the chapters finds this little word Selah of the 150 Psalms. There are 71 appearances in total. Now, much has been written about this little word Selah by Bible commentators and Christian writers. But if they were honest, and if I was honest, its meaning just doesn't seem to appear to be wholly determined. But I'm going to give you at least what is the consensus with regard to the word Selah. The word Selah only seems to appear in portrait, and it's supposed to have some reference to the singing of the portrait. Not just reading the portrait, but actually the singing of it. Now, in a general sense, the word Selah, it indicates a pause. Stop. Pause. Linger a little and consider. Wilhelm Gonescus, who knows a lot more about Hebrew than I will ever do, and I do, he suggests that the most probable meaning of the word is a musical term or a musical notation. Mrs. Strong will know about that, musical notations. They are in a composition of music that really denotes a silence or a pause, and that it just was enchanting the words of the particular psalm to direct the singer of the psalm to be silent, to pause momentarily, while the instruments maybe stopped, or maybe they played an interlude or some kind of harmony before they moved into the next part of the singing of the particular psalm. Now, that makes perfect sense in a musical construct. We're here in the book of Psalms, where the word is found most frequently. And is the book of Psalms, is it not the Bible's songbook? And therefore, this seems to fit the thinking with regard to this subject matter or this word, Selah. If you know anything about singing, you'll know that from time to time, you'll have to take a breath You'll have to stop. You'll have to take a breath in order to be able to continue to sing. You can't hold a note forever. The note has to be broken with a stop, with a pause. It's impossible to hold a note forever. And so the singer must stop. And in their stopping, they must fill their lungs again in order to be able to continue to sing the musical composition. That interlude, that momentary pause, gives not only the singer a moment to catch their breath, but it also gives the audience, if they're singing to an audience or congregation, it gives the audience a moment to reflect on what has been communicated to them by the composer of the song. And so it seems that the word Selah indicates that both the singer and the audience are to stop. They're to pause. They're to take a breath. They're to reflect. They're to meditate on what has just been sung. James Strong, in his exhaustive concordance, defines the word Selah in this way: suspension of music, that is, pause. In the Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew Dictionary, we find the following entry with regard to the word Selah. It means to lift up, exalt. A technical musical term probably showing accentuation, the lifting up of the voice, pause, or interruption. Selah. John Phillips gives a more simple meaning to the word Selah that you'll maybe be able to carry home with you tonight. He suggests that the word Selah means there. What do you think of that? There. What do you think of that? You read that there. In the verse number 2, many are they which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. There, what do you think of that? I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Now there, what do you think of that? Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. There, what do you think of that? What does that say to you? It's a little bit like the preacher applying the word to your heart, bringing application. Stop now. I've just spoken to you about something important. What do you think about that? What are you going to do about that? This is this little word, Selah. Now, if that's what Selah means, and I have no reason to doubt such renowned Hebrew scholars and Bible commentators, then I would suggest to you that this is a most suitable action for us as believers to engage in from time to time. We live in a very fast-paced world. And there's times, brethren and sisters, that we just need to stop. We need to pause. We need to look around, and we need to decipher, where are we? Where are we spiritually? Where are we in our walk with God? Where are we with regard to the will of God in our lives? There's times that we just need to stop, reflect, meditate. We need to stop, meditate upon what God is saying to us through his word, not racing through to just get a chapter done before we head off to bed or get out to work, but stop and meditate. This art of meditating is something that we need to cultivate, something that I believe is missing in many Christians' lives. Not even speaking of yourself, I speak of my own heart. To meditate upon the word, to as it were, ruminate. We talk about chewing the cud. With regard to the animal in the field, especially the cow, the bringing up of that which they've already digested, bringing it up from the second stomach and bringing it back into the mouth again. That's how I think the cow, anyway. I better not. There's some farmers here that were dairy farmers, so I better be very careful. But that's how they ruminate, they chew it over again in order to get all of the goodness out of it. And this little word, Selah, is actually encouraging the Bible reader to do that. And so that's whenever I read tonight, I tried to do it. I maybe wasn't too successful, but I did try to pause just a little as I read the verses. as we read through the verses, and that's what you ought to do, to stop and to look back. Now, what have I read? What have I read? And what do I understand about what I've read? And have I simply read just for the sake of reading? But is there something for me to do? Is there a precept, a statute, a commandment for me to obey? Is there something that God is directing me to do? Is there something about God that He wants me to know? Something about His being, His attributes, who He is and what He's doing? There, what do you think of that? What do you think of that? And so we must stop at times. We must stop in this fast-paced world and meditate on what God has said, what He's saying to us through His Word, and also what He's saying to us through the providential events of history. What is God doing? We need to stop. What is God doing providentially in my personal life? What is God doing in our family life? What is God doing in the church life? What is God doing nationally? What is God doing internationally? Selah. Selah. Pause. Reflect. When our worlds fall apart, we need to Selah. We need to stop. We need to pause. We need to think about what God is doing and what God is trying to teach us through the difficult circumstances that we find ourselves in. And when life is going well, we need to Selah. We need to pause. Psalm 46 verse 10 puts it like this: be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And the Selahs of life help us to do that. I must confess, I agree with one preacher who said this: God thrusts the Selah into His Bible and into our lives to make us stop and think, stop and consider, stop and admire, stop and repent, stop and pray. In this turbocharged world, we need to catch our breath at times. The Selahs of life provide us with the opportunity to do that. The Selahs of life also provide us with opportunities to reassess if we have made the proper and the correct choices when we have found ourselves in the midst of the severest of trials. Such times, times of trouble, times of trial, are not the most ideal times to be making important life decisions. And therefore, we need to have Selah moments for us to pause and to reflect in order that we might ascertain whether the choices that we have made are the choices that God would have had us make. Whenever you read through the Bible, you may not have read through your Bible in this kind of, and looking through this kind of lens, but you can think of individuals in Holy Scripture who had their Selah moments. It was a Selah moment. I think about Elijah there in the mouth of the cave at Mount Horeb. He was having a Selah moment. Mount Carmel and all that has happened there, busy, industrious, valiant for the truth. And yet God now takes him on that journey. And He takes him to the mouth of the cave in Mount Horeb. And there he comes to understand that God's not in the whirlwind, and He's not in the earthquake, and He's not in the fire, but he's in the still, small voice. You see, God had to take Elijah away from the crowds of Mount Carmel to the backside of the desert to teach him that lesson in the Selah moment. In the Selah moment, the moment he paused, the moment he stopped. Elijah, I'm going to teach you a lesson about me. I'm going to teach you that I'm not in the chaos of earthquake or fire or whirlwind, but I'm in the still small voice. Selah, Elijah, Selah. Jonah, he had his Selah moment in the belly of the great fish. Rebellious and disobedient regarding God's will for his life, God had to pull the brakes on and get Jonah to reassess his actions. And so Jonah is forced into a Selah moment. He's going nowhere. He's stopped. He's paused. He's time to reflect. And thank God he did reflect. He considered the error of his ways. and found himself turning again to God. But it took the Selah. It took a Selah moment in life. What about Mary, who chose to leave the chores of the home to one side for a moment and to sit at the Savior's feet to hear his word while he was in her home, as Mary sat at the feet of the Son of God? We could say she was having a Selah moment, pausing from the legitimate cares of life in order to refresh and have her soul revived in the presence of Christ, the Savior himself. Could we think of anyone greater? No. Though busy with preaching the gospel and healing the sick, he took time in the morning to pause, to reflect, to spend time in fellowship with his Father. We could say that he was obeying the repetitive and the repeated directive found in the Psalms, Selah. Selah. Now, in practical terms, Selah moments, they come to us at various times in our lives. Sometimes they are forced upon us, and other times they can be cultivated by us. Let me explain what I mean as I continue through the sermon and we'll soon be finished. I want you to think about the forced Selahs of life. The forced Selahs of life. These are moments in life's journey when circumstances beyond our control, yet nevertheless very much under God's control, these are moments whenever we are forced to stop, to reflect, and to consider our ways. We cannot but Selah. We cannot but pause. Let me give you two examples. In times of sickness, we are forced to pause, to reflect, to Selah. Sickness is a Selah moment in life. These are times whenever God calls us aside from our labors. One reason why God may bring us into a time of sickness, and he's many reasons, is so that we might engage in self-examination and ask ourselves whether the decisions, the choices that we've made in life were directed by the scriptures or motivated by self-interest or self-advancement. And whenever we're on a bed of sickness, we do stop and think. We think what we have done in life, and what in the will of God we plan to do with the rest of our lives. Sickness causes us to Selah. I'm sure you have known times of sickness in your life. One of the things, whenever we do find ourselves in sickness, is that we reflect. We do reflect. Have I been using my time? Have I been using my talents wisely? What is life in this world really all about? How can I best employ my time if I recover from my illness? These are just some of the questions we put to ourselves in the Selah moment. And thus, seasons of sickness and bodily weakness are beneficial and profitable for us, even though they are trying and even though they are frustrating. Maybe there's those watching in tonight and that's where you are, in a time of sickness. It is a Selah moment. God would have you to stop and pause, to reflect. We think of another example that is a forced Selah. In times of sorrow, we're forced to stop and reflect. Sorrow and bereavement is a life event that we have no control over. In such moments, we are compelled to reflect. Reflect on the fact that we're mortal, that we are living in a fallen, broken, sinful world. That sin is ultimately the cause of all the sorrow that we face in this world. We also reflect, especially whenever sorrow is connected with the death of a loved one or a friend, that we too someday will die. And thus we come to reflect in our sorrows that we need to engage in serving the Lord. We need to redeem the time. We need to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. We need to have treasures, treasures that are enduring in heaven. And sorrow causes us to stop. Think of it. Maybe it's a close loved one. You don't go to work the next day, you're at home. Bereavement, in the house of mourning. God wants you to stop, to reflect. He wants you to Selah. Selah. Maybe there is one who is enduring sickness or sorrow tonight. Well, God has purposed that you take these moments, as I've said, to stop, to reflect, and to reassess life's priorities. Maybe your priorities haven't been what they ought to be. I tell you, God could take you to a forced Selah. To a forced Selah. To a bed of sickness. In order for there to be a readjusting, a reassessing with regard to your living, God can do that. In those life force Selahs, we ought to then realign our priorities with God's priorities. Get them in line again. Get them in line again with His. Whether forced Selahs in life, there are also Selahs in life that can be cultivated by us that will profit us in our Christian lives. Think about the unforced Selahs of life. Examples are maybe the best way to describe what I mean whenever I speak about unforced Selahs in life. I don't want to be speaking in riddles tonight. I trust that I haven't already, but let me give you three. The first unforced Selah of life can occur at the start of every day. At the start of every day. Before we step out into a new day, we ought to stop and reflect. We ought to Selah. And as we do so, we ought to reflect on a number of matters. We ought to pause and reflect firstly on how weak we are. Which one of us is equal to face the burden of any day? Do we not have to confess that we are weak and at times powerless to face whatever providence purposes for us? And so in that moment, we come to realize how weak I am. Here I am going into an unknown day. And then we come not only to pause and reflect on how weak we are, but we come and pause and reflect on how strong the enemy is. The enemy within. The flesh. And we have to stop and consider that without God's help, the flesh will overcome us in the day. And if that happens, that's going to bring shame on God. And then there is the enemy without, in the form of the world and of the devil. And each will attempt to try and trip us up, resulting in damage being inflicted not only on our testimony, but on the testimony of Christ's church. And so we come to reflect how strong the enemy is, how weak we are, but we also pause to reflect on how mighty our God is. While we are unable to face the foe, while we are in and of ourselves, we're so weak, we ought to reflect every day on the fact that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. In those Selah moments before the day begins, we take to ourselves the armor of God, put it on, and we seek the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit. Do you rush out into the day? You haven't Selahed. You haven't paused. You haven't stopped. You haven't reflected. I trust you don't think that you're so spiritual that you don't need to stop and wait upon God. Pause. Stop. Start of every day, the morning should find us in the Selah moment. The second unforced Selah of life should occur at the end of every day. At the close of the day, we take ourselves off to God in prayer and to the Scriptures. We're brought to consider the choices that we made and our conduct throughout the day. We're brought to reflect on whether the choices we made were correct choices or whether a different course of action should have been taken. We're also brought to consider our conduct. Has it been befitting the profession of faith that we make? We come to assess whether our words and whether our works have adorned the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in those Selah moments, those moments of self-examination and those moments of reflection at the end of the day, we acknowledge our faults. We confess our sin. And we see God's help not to make the same mistakes tomorrow if God permits us to see another day. And so at the end of a day, we selah. Stop and think and pause and consider. Can I say the third and final enforced selah in life that can be cultivated by us is as we engage in the public means of grace. As we engage in the public means of grace. I'm thinking about our public worship services and also our gathering around the Lord's table. Prior to and immediately after sitting under the preached word, we should pause and reflect. There. What does that say to you? Selah. Take a little time in the pew after the preacher has preached to stop and think. What does God require of me? After I've been under the word today, what does God require of me? We should ask in the moments before the preached word, we should stop, think, pray. In the moments before the preached word, we should ask God to minister to our souls. And afterwards, we should ask God for grace to implement that which has been preached upon by His servant. We come to pause and reflect at our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting. We reflect on God's mercy thus far throughout this week, and we seek grace to walk with God for the remainder of the week until we meet again. And then whenever we gather around the table of remembrance, we stop and reflect on the great sacrifice of Christ the Redeemer, who purchased all covenant blessings that are ours. Aye, and we also reflect on our responsibilities in light of that great sacrifice. Our engagement in the means of grace, they certainly provide us with selah moments. That's what you're doing tonight. You're pausing midweek from all the busyness of work life and family life, church life. You're here. You've paused. You're reflecting. Selah. Selah. And so our engagement in the means of grace provides us with selah moments for us. Be honest, has life got too busy for you? Are you missing out with God? Do you rush from one venture to the next? If it has, and if you are, then selah. Stop. Pause. Take stock. Readjust your priorities if they need to be readjusted so that they align themselves again with God's word. Just a small word. 5 letters in length. But oh, what lessons we can learn from the little word selah. May God be pleased to bless His word. May God challenge our hearts in such a busy world in which we live. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's take a few moments to pause, to reflect on what has been said, to ask God, Lord, am I too busy? Have I forsaken the selahs? What do you want me to learn from tonight's message? What has there been for me? Why did I get nothing out of the message tonight? You could ask yourself that. Maybe you got nothing out of it. The word was opened. The word was preached. The message was prepared by the grace and help of God. Why did you not get anything out of the message? Selah. Our Father and our God, we just still ourselves in Thy courts tonight. We just stop. We pause. We reflect. we consider the journey that each of us have taken, the juncture at which we are now at by the grace of God. We think of the many mistakes that we've made. Oh, we cry for forgiveness, for mercy, for pardon. We look ahead, Lord, we see all struggles and trials before us, and yet we thank thee for the grace of God. The grace that has brought us to this moment will take us safely home. And so we just reflect on the goodness of God and the grace of God and the promises of God. We take these moments just in this meeting to be still and to know that thou art God. For those who find themselves in some forced Selah, Lord, draw near to them. Teach them, speak to them, minister to them. And for us, Lord, may we cultivate these moments. May we not rush out into the day, and may we not jump into bed without even thinking about all that has happened and all that has befallen. May we consider the day in which we have lived and what we have done and what we have said. May we seek thy cleansing, and may we seek thy grace to help us to live for God. And as we come into thy house, Lord, may we not be so busy catching up with everyone that we really have not asked God to speak to us. We haven't stopped, haven't been silent. And whenever the message is concluded, Lord, may we not be so quick to communicate with others. Oh God, that we've forgot everything that has been said. It's all been pushed out of our minds because of maybe tittle-tattle or maybe gossip or maybe legitimate things, oh God. May we learn, may we be given the grace to cultivate this spirit within us. And as we read through now this book of Psalms, and as we read through its chapters, and whenever we come up against this word Selah, may we stop. May we reread even what we've read. And may we consider what God is trying to say to us. He has placed them there for specific reasons. And other places he's left it out. But there must be a reason why this little word is found in this particular place. What is that reason, dear God? Oh, help us, therefore, to consider such things. And bless now our waiting souls. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.